How many complaints end up going to the attorney? So if you say you have
every complaint goes directly to an attorney from the moment it comes in our office.
How many cases do you handle at one time in particular, like now, for example? Tens or hundreds or thousands?
Less than 100 at a time. And it's going to vary from attorney to attorney and from council district to council district, because the demographics are very different within different council districts. For example, in Council District C, I can tell you, I handle a lot of new construction. I work with a lot of developers, I work with a lot of builders to cure deed restriction violations. You know, there are other parts of town where, you know, more of those complaints are commercial vehicle complaints or, you know, carport setback complaints or multifamily use complaints because so many people are living on certain properties. So there's sort of, you know, different issues. Some take longer to process and shorter times to process. And so it's going to vary from council district to council district. And some cases are more complex and take a lot longer to work out than some are very quick to resolve. And so, yeah, I'm usually around 40 to 50. I'd say I average around 40 to 50 at a time. So, good questions. All right, so let's say you filed your complaint. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to investigate. I've worked up the title work. I've verified you've got valid enforceable deed restrictions. I've looked to determine that you have a provision that we have the authority to enforce. So now I'm going to investigate and figure out if there really is a violation that I can substantiate, that I have enough evidence to substantiate. You know, when you fill out the complaint form or call me with the complaint, the more information you can provide me, the more you can shorten sort of the investigation phase. So if you've got a commercial use complaint, you already know the name of the business, and you already know what's going on, and you can already give me sort of the times we're gonna see the activity on the property, that helps shorten my investigation time frame. It also helps me better provide time frames within which my two inspectors for the whole city of Houston can go and visit the property and take photographic evidence of whatever's going on the property. With commercial use complaints, we also encourage residents, if they're comfortable, maintaining logs of activity. If you can note vehicles and license plate numbers, I can run those license plates and determine who owns those vehicles. Is it a company that owns those vehicles, or is it the property owner? If it's a multifamily use complaint, do all the vehicles on the property, do all those people have the same last name? Are all those vehicles actually registered to that property, or are they registered all over with different last names? So that information can be really helpful. It's also critically important that you provide us with the correct address from the beginning. That can be very, very helpful because, as I mentioned, we pull the title work for every property, for every complaint that comes into our office. It costs the city about $650 to $750 every time we pull that title work. Because, you know, we've got an agreement with title data, and that's just our cost. Now, mistakes are going to happen. It's not the end of the world, but to the degree that you can look on Harris County Appraisal District, their website is extremely helpful. They have maps available. So if you're not sure about an address, find an address that's close by and pull up the map on HCAD, and you can help narrow it down. If you're really having trouble, call me. I'll help walk you through it, and we'll figure it out together. All right, so yeah, we're back to the investigation. Let's say my investigator has gone out to the property and we've verified, absolutely, we have a food truck that's being parked on the property. And we've seen it there three times. And it doesn't matter what time of day, you know, they're just storing it there. Well, the next step is to send a warning letter to try and get compliance from the property owner. So once we've verified that there is in fact a violation, we'll send a warning letter. The warning letter typically requires compliance within 15 days of the warning letter. So that food truck needs to be removed within 15 days of the warning letter. So at the expiration of that deadline, we'll send our inspector out again and we'll confirm whether or not the vehicle's been removed. If it hasn't been removed, our final step is litigation. we've worked everything up from the beginning. We've made sure we've got valid enforceable deed restrictions. We've made sure it's a provision we have authority to enforce. We've made sure that we have the evidence up front to substantiate the complaint. So we're ready to pull the trigger if we need to go to litigation to get compliance. More than 9 out of 10 times, we don't have to go to litigation. Almost always these issues are resolved at the warning letter stage. But that being said, we want to be prepared to move forward. If I'm going to, as a representative of the city of Houston, if I'm going to send a warning letter that's going to threaten litigation if you don't comply, I want to be able to back it up. And that's why we do all the work on the front end. Does anyone have any questions about that? Yes, sir.
Let's look at the funnel you have here. Of every 100 you have come in as a complaint, by the time you get to the investigation, how many are left that you decided you, for all these hoops that the complaint has to go through, it's still a valid one that you can handle? How many are left there? And then how many are left? How many of those end up being perhaps potential litigation?
You know, I have really made an effort to let communities know that I'm willing to be a resource within the city of Houston, not just for deed restriction matters, but just for navigating this crazy bureaucracy that is the city of Houston. And I welcome phone calls from any of you. If you have questions about how to deal with pools and easements, I can help point you in the right direction, even if it's not a deed restriction matter. So that's hard to quantify. If it's a formal complaint that comes through our office, easily, you know, 75 to 80% are valid complaints that we have authority to do something about. We do occasionally find issues with the deed restrictions. You know, I have neighborhoods that that tried to create restrictions under certain provisions of the property code, and they didn't follow the steps that were required.
Tell me about it.
Well, that's not the issue with this. That isn't an issue with this neighborhood. Your deed restrictions are perfectly valid and perfectly enforceable. Absolutely. But I have neighborhoods where they did not follow what they needed to follow, mm-hmm. and they hold themselves out as having valid and enforceable deed restrictions, and they in fact do not. So we occasionally encounter that. So I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So you 100 come in the door, 75 might get a letter.
Not necessarily. So for example, with new construction complaints, let's say they've done what they were supposed to do and they submitted building plans to the city of Houston. And I get a complaint about a front setback violation, for example. I can ask Public Works and Engineering, now Houston Public Works, to issue a stop work order on that property without having to send a warning letter. And we can stop construction until we can get the setback violation cured. I didn't have to send a warning letter. And I handle a lot of new construction complaints. So, you know, particularly with new construction, we've got tools available that wouldn't require sending a warning letter. Even if they didn't do what they were supposed to do and submit building plans that clearly show a front setback violation, if we have enough information that we really think there might be one and they don't have approved building plans, we're gonna red tag the property and stop construction until they submit appropriate building plans so we can see where the setbacks are. I can require them to submit a form survey that shows me where things lie on the property in relation to the property pins so that I can determine whether or not there's violation, and I can stop everything until we get that figured out. There are many instances where, for example, I've had property brokers list properties on MLS and HAR and say, oh, this can be used as a triplex, and the property is limited to single family residential use. We call that broker and say, hey, you've got some problems with your listing. We'll get them to fix their listing. Doesn't require a warning letter. More often than not, they're willing to work with us. So, you know, there are lots of different ways we can go about getting compliance. And a warning letter isn't always necessary. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I was just using warning letter because that's what you had put in there.
Right.
But there are obviously the warning letter is maybe many kind of multifaceted approach.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so, yes, ma'am.
Is there like a time limit from when the violation occurs to when we report it? Because like somebody put you know, I guess there are deed restrictions, but that happened like 2 or 3 years ago, so it's too late to report that, or what?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's a really important point, so I'm glad you brought it up. Yes, the question was, how long is too long to call in a complaint if there's been construction that you think violates deed restrictions? Is 2 or 3 years after it's complete too long? So generally speaking, when you're talking about deed restriction enforcement, there's a 4-year statute of limitations for you as individuals or your civic association, parties withstanding, to bring a lawsuit. The city's not limited by that statute of limitations, but it's still a guideline for us. It's not a hard and fast bright line rule for us. What we're going to look at is, was that construction really obvious that it violated, and then a really long time passed before it called in? Well, in that case, we may use our discretion and decline to enforce. These cases go before a court of equity. And what a judge is going to do is they're going to weigh the degree of the violation and the harm to the neighborhood versus the cost to cure the violation. And they're going to look at all of the facts that came into play. Did anyone report it? How obvious was it? Is it a huge violation? Is it a tiny violation? And they're going to weigh all of that to determine whether they're going to enforce that deed restriction provision. And again, courts more and more so are construing deed restrictions against the drafter. So it's going to depend. It's going to depend on the circumstances. And there are certain types of structures like carports and fences. Those things go up overnight. You're not going to necessarily know. You're not necessarily going to have a plan submission to the civic association necessarily. And again, they go up very quickly. But when you're talking about a $5,000 or $10,000 carport that's violating a front setback by 15 feet, for example, the court's not going to hesitate to tear that darn thing down as long as you report it reasonably quickly when it's an obvious violation. So I hope that answers your question. Okay. Talked about litigation. I've mentioned most violations cease with a warning letter.